All right, good to be back. Like Flatlands. A couple of days in the mountains and the 12-year-olds. I already go home. You mean back to where we're staying? Not home, home. I've seen the trees. I've seen the waterfall. I'm ready to go. Oh, there's lots of paths up there, lots of trails you can walk. We've got hiking trails, we've got animal trails even around here, we've got highways and roads, and, you know, there's even all kinds of paths to different things. Even I read this week where they've decided all people come from one female. You could have saved yourself a lot of time if you could just read Genesis. It would have been much easier, but they figured it out. All people come from one female. This is on, right? On. Can you hear me? Okay. No. Yes, maybe. Put it up a little bit there. We went to Yosemite Park and Kings Canyon, and a lot of driving when you visit California because you got to drive to wherever you want to go. So we were a couple hours plus away from Sequoia National Park. We went there 2 days, so you got two and a half hours there, 2.5 hours back. Kings Canyon was about 3 hours away, so you got a trip there and back. So a lot of driving. Sequoia National Park, now it was both cool, don't get me wrong. It was fun maybe for us older adults to see the mountains. You look over and you think, well, it's cloudy out there. Well, you realize it's not cloudy, that's the mountain. It's just like, that's the side of the rock. But how big they are and things, how big the trees are. And Kings Canyon, we didn't see all the trees, but we went to Grant's tree or General Grant's tree. It was a 40-foot wide one, sequoia tree. So it was fun to see those things. We had not seen them before. And now one of the roads, talk about path, one of the roads had really winding curves. You know, one of them you go like this for miles and miles to get there. It's a kind of a narrow road. It was dark, kind of dreary. There's still some snow. There were dead trees. There's a lot of sequoia trees. Basically, sequoia trees and rocks. Giant rocks is what you saw. Not much life there. There were dead trees. There was a lot of areas that were burned, just charred black trees, which they actually do on purpose to get rid of some of them to allow the growth to come. But it was darker. It was cloudy, not just above you, but below you. As you looked over, as we kept passing them, 3,000 feet, 4,000 feet, 5,000 feet, 6,000 feet. My granddaughter said, I don't like it up here. Kind of near the edge, you know, it's kind of dark. And like I say, it's nothing but trees and giant trees and giant rocks. And but yet through the burning, you know, where they had been burnt and had broken down, their new life was sprouting up. You could see the saplings of the trees coming up. And, you know, it's one of those trips where they're going around the road, and my oldest grandson said, I don't feel very well. We had two cars, and my two oldest grandkids rode with Joni and I. Everybody else was in the other one. I don't feel good. So we're going around these roads again. There's no place to pull over. You know, finally, he said, I need to pull over now. Luckily, we found a place, got rid of breakfast, and all was well. So the other time we went up, the second time we went up, then we're going down and my granddaughter gets, I need napkins. We need napkins for her. My nose is bleeding. So she had a big nosebleed. So I don't know if it was just our car or what. But even on that road, like I say, it's dark. It's kind of dreary. It's you see these things. You come to a tunnel that they've, I wouldn't say even carved out of the rock. It's not like it was a smooth tunnel that they drilled through. You know, it's just cragged corners and roof where they blew it out or something. But you go through this tunnel, And it's a good little ways, but you can see the light at the end, you know, and you keep heading for that light. They've kind of got like orange-ish lights in there. It's kind of eerie, but you go through there and you finally get to the other end and you break out into sunlight. You know, you're in sunlight. It's got what they call El Capitan. The bridal veil falls in the half dome. All of it's right there in front of you. So the sun's shining. You got the two rock formations on both sides. Kind of in the middle, you got the waterfalls coming down. So it's a beautiful sight once you get there. But you had to go through the darkness to get there. The other road we went down from the same place, we decided to go a different way, completely opposite. No sequoia trees. Still tall mountains, but they're completely, instead of just rock, they're completely covered with grass and flowers and shrubbery from the bottom clear to the top. There's nothing but greenery that you see. It's completely different. Sunlight. Minimal trees, grass and flowers on top to bottom, a winding the river in the middle, you know, the rapids and the river in the middle that follows around. The roads were much more wider and straighter, not that you didn't have some curves, but most of them you had a lot of straight periods to follow. So roads are quite different. Roads are a lot different, and you know, and it's like a path we can follow. There's a lot of different paths we can follow, a lot of different roads we can take, but there's really only one that leads to where we want to be. There's only one that leads to God. You know, the thing of it is, you know, with paths, you know, we try to help people, but we all have our own path to follow. You know, we have our own life and our own decisions to make. And, you know, my path isn't your path. And your path isn't my path. And, you know, we can influence each other, but we can't control each other's path they take. You know, we make our own decisions. Now, sometimes we get more concerned about others' walk than our own. You know, we either think we can help them do better or at least help them not make mistakes. But sometimes it's us who needs to do better and try not to do as many mistakes to avoid them. We can't keep people from exercising bad choices. We can advise them, but we can't keep them from exercising bad choices. Mistakes are part of the process, you know, in life, in the path we go down. Mistakes happen. That's how we learn. That's how we experience things. And so we just need to pray to God that He look out for others. And, you know, you try to help control kids and grandkids and friends. We just need to pray to God, look out for them, because God's got His own plan for them. They've got their own path to follow. He's got a plan for each person. I'm going to go through some different scripture this morning. We're not going to spend a lot of time on each one, but I've got a few. We're going to start out at Psalm 23. Which most of you are familiar with 23rd Psalms, but we're just going to read the first three verses. Excuse me. So Psalm 23, 1 through 3 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake." And if we submit to God, He's going to guide us along the right path. You know, the one He wants us to go down, the one that's the best for us. And why would He do that? There's a reason. It's for His name's sake. It's to get us to grow to be like Him. It's to put us on the path to being like Him. It's put us on the path to be the light to show others who He is, who Christ is to us. So we need to let Him guide us down that path. Don't try to take the lead, because then you'll veer off. You'll get on the wrong one. So He guides us along the right path for His name's sake, for Christ. Go on to Psalm 25, verses 4 and 5. It says, "Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. So we need to ask, seek, and knock. We've talked about that before. You know, ask God to show you his ways and his path for you. And say, I want to walk as you want me to walk. Show me your way. Ask for guidance. Ask for wisdom. You know, it's available from the Holy Spirit if he's in you. If you've accepted Christ, if his work on the cross, if you have the Holy Spirit, he will help you. He will guide you. He will teach you. You know, trust what he shows you. You know, he's your Savior. He's your hope. You know, any other path is no hope at all, really. He knows what path you decide to take. You know, it's not a secret to him, and he tells us that in Proverbs 5:21. He says, for your ways are in full view of the Lord, and he examines all your paths. He's all-knowing. He knows what you're going to do. He knows where he wants you, but he knows the choices you're going to make. And he wants to guide you in his time, in his place. You know, a church attender said to his preacher one time when he walked out of church, he said, I just don't understand it. He said, the devil never bothers me. He said, I do what I want, and it's like we never cross paths. Well, the preacher calmly explained. He said, you know what? He said, you know, when two people traveling down the same road, heading in the same direction, they seldom bump into each other. So which direction are you going? If you're going down the same road as Satan, you're not going to bump into each other. If you're going down the road of Christ, you're going to have a lot of bumps. You're going to have a lot of places that's going to be a struggle to get through because he's going to be right there. Psalm 119:105 says, your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. Pray for his guidance and wisdom, but seek it in the word of God. There's answers there. It'll light the way for you. It'll let you travel safely on your path. It'll guide you down the right path. And then Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight. Now, if you desire a straight, honest path, put your faith and trust in God, not yourself. Submit yourself to his will, not yours. You know, do you trust your car? You know, they've got all these things on them anymore. These systems, like the one where you're driving down, you get a little far to the left on the lane, and you have your car start shaking. You have that on your car because it's telling you to get back in your lane. You go to this side, your car starts shaking again. I don't like them, but they do that. It tells you you're too close to the other line to get back in your lane. You know, kind of acts like the Holy Spirit. You know, wake up, get back over there, get on the right path again. You know, so who do you trust more? You trust your car, or you trust God? You know, your car's there to help you. God's there to help you. He's there to put you back on the path. You know, Jesus said there was a couple different paths we can take. One's wide, one's narrow. And they in turn lead to a wide gate or door and a narrow gate and door. In Matthew 7, 13 and 14, he talks about those. He says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You know, the wide road and the gates, it's a lot easier to travel. There's a lot of room on it. It's easy to get on. Lots of people on it. A lot of lanes on it. It's probably them 6, 7, 8, 10 lanes, whatever they have in some places. Lots of lanes. You can jump right on. You know, it's comfortable. You don't have to watch out for a lot of stuff. You can just set the cruise control on down the road. You know, hardly any signs to tell you what to do. You know, plenty of room to keep everything with you that you may want. Plenty of stops to even pick up more items if you wanted. Keep all your baggage that you have. You can hold on to all that stuff. You can just keep going. The narrow road negates much harder. You know, it's not as easy to find when amongst all of the other roads and paths. You ever, some of those spaghetti things, you're not sure which exit's yours. Or up at the end of 267, up on the north, way up north, it used to be you drove up and there was an on-ramp and an off-ramp to get on 65. Well, now it looks like you tied your shoe. It's twice, because it's this way, and if you're in this lane, you got to go this way, and this lane goes straight, which takes you on to another part, or left, curves you back around to this road over here, and all the same time, you're going over 65 like this, and back this way again. You get on the wrong one, you're going on 65 whether you wanted to or not, because you're just stuck in that lane. So they've made it difficult. It's difficult to find the path that you wanted. So it's hard to travel that way. It's harder to find. Sometimes you're driving along the interstate. There's where I want to be, you know. But can I get there from here? You know, you see where you want. You know, you also have to follow a lot more signs once you get on the right path. There's more signs there. You know, you got the stop signs. You got to stop every now and then. You got the warning signs. You know, watch, no passing. No passing here. You know, watch for the kids over here. You know, there's more signs. And, you know, and on the Christian road, there's more signs than that. There's additional signs that other people don't have to do. There's a sign that says, turn the other cheek. There's a sign that says, love your enemies. There's a sign that says, judge or be judged. Lots of signs on that road. A lot of warning signs. A lot of signs to keep us going in the right direction. And all that stuff you have, you can't take it with you. You got to leave it. You got to leave it at the door. All that stuff that was important to you that you thought you wanted took up a lot of space in your life. Leave that at the door. You know, even the baggage you have, you don't have to take it with you either. He's there to take care of that too. Leave it at the door. You got to leave everything behind to follow Christ. You got to leave it behind, and He'll take care of the rest. You know, how do we know we're at the right gate? How do we recognize it? You know, or are we on the right road? And how do we get there? In John 10, 7 through 10, says who that gate is. John 10, 7 through 10 says, therefore Jesus said again, notice He said again, He wants you to understand, very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So Jesus is the gate. You know, He's the door to salvation. He's the door to an eternal life with Christ. He's a future with peace, a future with love, a future with God. You know, a door to life and life to the full. And luckily, we don't have to wait for that part. The life to the full can start right now. Once you accept Christ, the life to the full starts. You can have that now. It won't be fully consummated until we're with Him, but it starts now. You can have it here. It's available. You just have to enter in through the door, through Christ, by accepting His work on the cross. Going to have an invitation and then communion after that. But the other thing I've been told is talking about paths and doors and gates, you know. I can't tell you how many times I've been told there are many ways to get to the same place. many ways to get to that gate, many ways to get through that door. And that all roads, you know, all religions, all these, they're the same. They all lead to the same place. You know, every now and then I get the hankering to look up some research and some statistics and things. You know, the Pew Research in 2018 said 80% of Americans, I've tried to get the newest I could find, 80% of Americans believe in God. That was supposedly in 2018. Now, 56% of those believe God is who God is, who's described in the Bible. But even that, many thought there were several ways to get to heaven without Jesus. That there's still ways to get there. You know, teaching has failed us. You know, education has failed us. Seminaries have failed. Churches have failed. Parents, pastors have failed. You know, teaching at seminaries and divinity universities that they have, and that includes ones I looked up, Harvard and Yale and Oxford, you know, the higher learning you think is the highest of learning. They're not only failing, but they're providing this teaching that there's many ways to get there. You know, it seems like the higher your learning goes, the less you believe. You know, they went to those that, of the people in school, those that believe in a biblical God. In high school, was 66%. If you went and had some college, it drops to 53%. And if you graduated, it drops to 45%. Actually believe in the biblical God. You know, I think religious departments at schools are being used by evil to spread false information. I don't want to, hate to get into Democrats and Republicans and liberal and conservative, but quite honestly, if you look at liberal versus conservative, and I'm not saying liberal ideas aren't on their face good. You know, liberal wants the best for people. You know, I think they both want the best for people. They go about it different ways. They want the best for people. They want people to have things. They want people to get to places they want to be. And I think you can agree that most education people are liberals. I mean, you look at the Department of Education, and I don't think anybody would argue that it's more of a liberal-type entity. And you'll find that. And I found that, you know, liberals tend to lean for to make it easier to do things, to get things, which on the surface may not be bad. But we can't create easier paths to get there, okay? And these universities I just mentioned, liberal teachers outweigh conservative teachers 70-1. So what they're teaching and what they believe is going to spill over into those that they teach. So our teaching, we have problems in our teaching. You know, and you can tell, and the last one I found was in 2021, 60% of adults under 40 years old don't believe Jesus is the way to heaven, or at least not the only way to heaven. And John 14:6 plainly states, John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, he's the only way. Jesus said it here. God said it at Gethsemane. Because Jesus asked, is there another way? 3 times. God said no. You're the only way. No, your thoughts, your opinions, your desires, don't change God's word. If you're a narrow-minded Christian, praise God. Because the road's narrow. Because there's only one narrow road that leads to life. I want everybody to understand that. And I want everybody to be bold enough to stand for that. Because not telling people that is not going to help them. It's not going to get them there. They're going to stay confused. They're going to stay confused enough not to understand, not to know that Jesus is the only way. And they're not going to like eternity. And I hope you found the narrow road. Hope you're still on it, not on the open road. You need to find the path to follow Christ if you haven't. If you have, submit to the rules of the road. Be who Christ wants you to be. Submit your will to His. And then enjoy the road to an eternity with Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the clarity of it. Sometimes we muddy it up, Father. We muddy it up to be what we want it to be. We pick and choose the parts we want to keep and throw away the rest. But all of your word is there for us, Lord. You tell us not to change it. That whoever changes a word of your word, Lord, is in troubles and cursed. Lord, that you will condemn them. Because your word is holy. It's set apart. It's set aside. It's unchanging. It's only people who want to change it to meet their needs, to meet what they think they can achieve. But Father, we're thankful for the honest truth in your word. We're thankful that it's plain. And we're thankful that it's Jesus. We're thankful that he came to give us that one way to be with you, to have an eternal life in Christ, to live in heaven with you for all of eternity. Lord, the ones on the wrong road, Lord, we pray that we're bold enough to tell them that's not the way. It's not the way, because letting them continue on gives them an eternity, Lord, that they're not going to want. So, Lord, help us to be honest. Help us to be bold in our witness for you. That when somebody says, Lord, there's many roads to get to you, let us speak up. Say, no, there's only one. There's only one way. And Jesus is that way. Just give us your strength. Let the Spirit guide and direct us on our road, Lord, at where we pass and we meet people, Lord, that you use us to make differences. It's what you've called us to do. Lord, the last couple weeks have been about purposes, Lord. Lord, help us fulfill those. Help us fulfill those through your Spirit. We just ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.